Welcome to River of Hope this morning. It is our honor if this is your first time joining us here. If you're a visitor, we are thankful that you are here. It's a beautiful Sunday morning. We're excited. Today is Baptism Sunday. Amanda led off with that a little bit in our morning welcome. And the difference is, if you look out the windows, it's kind of a blue sky and sunny, which is really weird for our normal baptism Sundays. Usually we're at 50 degrees and raining and windy and cold and kind of nasty, and that's bad because we go to a lake, right? So this is amazing. We're being blessed this morning. God has granted us a beautiful forecast and an outlook today that is just amazing, and we're excited. We're going to be kind of moving along fairly quickly here in service to make sure that we can stay on track with our schedule and be out to the lake and do the baptisms and the lunch that follow. So Amanda will be sharing a little bit of that in the announcements here as we prepare to take up our morning tithes and offerings. Let's pray before we take up the offering this morning. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this day. I thank you for this beautiful day that you've blessed us with. Lord, we thank you and we just praise your name this morning. We lift your name on high. Father, we ask that you would take this offering that we give back to you. Lord, we know that you have given us gifts and skills and talents and abilities to provide for ourselves and our families. Lord, we give back to you from what you have given us. We ask that you would receive it, Lord, that you would bless it and multiply it for your kingdom's purpose. In Jesus' holy name we pray. Amen.
All right, good morning. Well, Caleb and Haley made it back from Bible camp from this last week, and it sounded like they just had a really great time, and I got to talk to them a little bit. But for me, it was really cool to just hear the kids at camp, these middle schoolers, and just how God touched them this week and spoke to them, and there was specific people that felt a calling from God as a middle schooler already to be a missionary, to go to Romania. Somebody had a calling to Romania where God spoke to them on that already. And it's just cool how God works and speaks to them. And so we have three more weeks of camp back to back, and we have more kids going to kids camp in August. So we're excited about that. So today, Pastor Jesse mentioned we have the baptism following here. So we just want to welcome you guys all out. We're going to head to Sackett's at about 11:30 and do the baptisms right away. And then we're going to have lunch. So even if you did not bring something today, we would love to have all of you guys out there to join us and just to celebrate those that are getting baptized today. This Friday, we are doing our Ladies Connect out at Stony Acres Farm. And if you have not been out there yet, it's a pretty neat experience. I wouldn't call myself a farm girl. It just blows me away because my mom grew up on a farm and she drove tractors and all of that. But I'm not a farm girl. And pizza on the farm, it's a pretty cool experience. If you have not done it, you got to join us. So I know a lot of the guys, you're probably jealous because we're going to pizza on the farm and enjoying great pizza. So, but this one's going to be just for the ladies, and we're going to meet here on Friday at 4:30 to carpool. If you work later than that, no problem. I want to get out there, save us a good area, and then just come and meet us after work on Friday. And I have a sign up out on the welcome table. Just if you want to carpool with us, you can, and just mark that down. Or if you're going to meet us out there, that way I kind of know who to look for, because I'm told it gets pretty crazy busy out there. So, but we're looking forward to that. That's going to be just a fun thing. I do have a Ladies Connect, and I know the guys have a Facebook page too, and we do a lot of communication that way. So if you are on Facebook and you're not in the Ladies Connect or our prayer group or our men's group page, feel free to let me or Pastor Jesse know, and we'll add you to make sure you guys get the latest. Last time I looked, the weather is looking good for Friday, but if for some reason something changes, I'll post a backup plan. So everybody knows. And then in 2 weeks, we have a baby shower for Joan and her family, and it's going to be following the service, and we just want to welcome all of you guys to stay for that. We're just going to have some appetizer, snack stuff, And they are registered at Amazon and Walmart, I believe. Is that right? Okay. So that's in 2 weeks right after church. Other than that, if you have any questions, feel free to catch me or Pastor Jesse after church.
All right. We're going to jump right into our message this morning. We're moving through the book of Romans slowly but surely, as I typically do. So we're going to jump into Romans chapter 8. We will be reading from the text, Romans chapter 8, 1 through 17 this morning. So I'm going to start out by reading this this passage, and then we will pray before we start into the message. If you have your Bibles with you, you can feel free to turn to that as we begin. It's Romans chapter 8, verse 1. So now there is no condemnation for those who belong to Christ Jesus. And because you belong to him, the power of the life-giving Spirit has freed you from the power of sin that leads to death. The law of Moses was unable to save us because of the weakness of our sinful nature. So God did what the law could not do. He sent his own Son in a body like the bodies we sinners have. And in that body, God declared an end to sin's control over us by giving his Son as a sacrifice for our sins. He did this so that the just requirement of the law would be fully satisfied for us, who no longer follow our sinful nature, but instead follow the Spirit. Those who are dominated by the sinful nature think about sinful things, but those who are controlled by the Holy Spirit think about things that please the Spirit. So letting your sinful nature control your mind leads to death, but letting the Spirit control your mind leads to life and peace. For the sinful nature is always hostile to God. It never did obey God's laws, and it never will. That's why those who are still under the control of their sinful nature can never please God. But you are not controlled by your sinful nature. You are controlled by the Spirit if you have the Spirit of God living in you. And remember that those who do not have the Spirit of Christ living in them do not belong to him at all. And Christ lives within you. So even though your body will die because of sin, the Spirit gives you life because you have been made right with God. The Spirit of God who raised Jesus from the dead lives in you. And just as God raised Christ Jesus from the dead, he will give life to your mortal bodies by the same Spirit living within you. Therefore, dear brothers and sisters, you have no obligation to do what your sinful nature urges you to do. For if you live by its dictates, you will die. But if through the power of the Spirit you put to death the deeds of your sinful nature, you will live. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are children of God. So you have not received a spirit that makes you fearful slaves. Instead, you received God's Spirit when he adopted you as his own children. Now we call him Abba Father. For his Spirit joins with our spirit to affirm that we are God's children. And since we are his children, we are his heirs. In fact, together with Christ, we are heirs of God's glory. But if we are to share his glory, we must also share his suffering. Let's pray this morning. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this day. I thank you for this time that we can come together and just learn from your word. Holy Spirit, I pray that you would speak through me, that nothing that comes from my mouth would be an error apart from you, that your will would move forward through my mouth and through my words. We just pray and ask that you would open our hearts and our minds to receive the word you have for us today. In Jesus' holy name we pray. Amen. You know, I thought it was interesting. I'm not a very forethought type person. I don't plan things. Just ask my wife. She's the person that's in charge of setting the calendar and making sure that if we're supposed to do something or supposed to be somewhere, we are. I just kind of follow in that sense, right? Amanda? Yeah. She will agree with that 100% of the time, every time, and I can guarantee it. Now, I had a phone call and somebody asked me, like, oh, hey, what's the schedule? What are we doing? What are we preaching on? And I love it when people ask that because it actually gets me thinking and moving. But I love how God takes things and kind of puts them in order. Now, maybe you haven't really experienced this, but here at church, I'm just blown away at times. Even the worship this morning, although Alexa's sick and she wasn't able to be here and lead us, that was the set she had picked. So we just took her music that she wanted and we said, all right, we're still going to do this and we're just going to follow with our fearless YouTube leader instead of Alexa being sick. But I just love the way that that the songs she chose, you know, really just line up with what God is putting in place for us today. In Romans chapter 8, if you have headings in your Bible, this one is headed up with life in the Spirit. It's Baptism Sunday, and we're talking about life in the Spirit. It's just amazing how God takes everything and lines it up and puts it into order and takes the chaos of our lives and says, all right, let's make this work and let's make this beautiful. Romans chapter 8, verse 1. So now there is no condemnation for those who belong to Christ Jesus. And because you belong to him, the power of the life-giving Spirit has freed you from the power of sin that leads to death. We've spent the last week, Amanda and I were on vacation the previous 2 weeks to that, talking, actually most of the series in Romans has literally been talking about sin and death and freedom from sin and the deliverance and all of these things that Jesus Christ offers to us. And here again, we have Paul leading into Romans and is telling us, just remember, there's no condemnation for those of you who have been saved. The things that you have done in your life, the sin that has preceded your salvation, anything that is happening in your life, that you're stumbling, you're falling, you're failing, it doesn't matter. There is no condemnation for those who belong to Christ Jesus. And because you belong to him, the power of the life-giving Spirit has freed you from the power of sin that leads to death. We've talked quite a bit about the power of sin. The law of Moses, the Ten Commandments, was unable to save us because of the weakness of our sinful nature. Last week we were discussing a lot about that, how having that law, having the ability to see what's right and wrong actually has a way of spurring on the idea of desiring wrong. And we talked about it before, you know how you can tell your kids, hey, don't do that, and then instantly it's like, why not? I'm going to try. All of us parents, and even those of us who are old enough and maybe not parents yet, we know that's true. We know we like to push the boundaries and to just see how far we can go before we get caught in trouble or hurt. Right? That's part of our human nature, part of our sinful nature that lives within each and every one of us. The law of Moses was unable to save us because of the weakness of our sinful nature. I think we all know and we understand what Paul is sharing through that verse. So God did what the law could not do. God did what the law could not do. He sent his own son in a body just like ours. And in that body, God declared an end to sin's control over us. There is so much power packed into these first few verses. We often think about the things that hold us back. Or maybe you don't, but I do. I think about the things that I've stumbled from in life. I think about my weaknesses and my failings, and at times I feel like it controls me. And maybe you're in that place too, where things that you've done in your past are still lingering in your mind, and in a sense they've got a foothold on you because it's not being released and let go. But God did what the law could not do. He sent his son, Jesus. And he declared an end to sin's control over us by giving his son as a sacrifice for our sins. You see, when we have that idea that our past is stuck with us, that we can't get away from it, that we can't be freed from it, That is a deception. That's a tactic of the devil to keep you down and to keep you from achieving your potential as a follower of Christ. Because anytime you're stuck in that mentality that I am only as good as my weakest point, or I am only as good as the sin that I've committed. See, that's a lie. Because God has created each and every one of us to be something much greater than where we are right now. Verse 4, he did this so that the just requirement of the law would be fully satisfied for us who no longer follow our sinful nature, but instead follow the Spirit. See, God gave us a law. He gave us the Ten Commandments to help us to see what it was that we were doing wrong. Right? We needed something to show us. To show us what our sins were. When he gave that law, it's good intention, it's a good and holy law, there's nothing wrong with the law. But in so doing, it spurs on our sinful nature. And Satan takes what's good and he decides, you know, I'm going to mess with this. I'm going to try and screw this up a little bit, and we're going to see what we can make happen. And you know, when our flesh and our sin nature kind of gets spurred on, bad things tend to happen. And that's been the chaos of humanity ever since. But God sent his son, Jesus. That is the foundation of our salvation, of our faith, is believing that God did send his son in the form of a man, being Jesus, to live a perfect life, to be sinless, and yet died on the cross, crucified, taking our place, fulfilling the requirement of the law. Verse 5. Those who are dominated by the sinful nature think about sinful things, but those who are controlled by the Holy Spirit think about things that please the Spirit. You kind of see that interesting word in there. Those who are dominated. When you're being dominated by something, it means something is controlling, right? It means you can't really get away from whatever it is that's dominating you. Those who are dominated by the sinful nature think about sinful things. You know that, you know, and the crazy thing is this can happen even after you've been saved and you've been following Christ and you've been trying to do everything you can to live right. That all of a sudden you have something kind of come into your mind and it just begins to kind of stay there. And it's a temptation, it's an idea, it's a sin, whatever it is. And it sits there. And it's like a little bit of an ember that sits below the leaves, right? And pretty soon another thought comes in, and it's like a little bit of a breeze that comes through and just takes that thing and starts it to smolder. And another, and pretty soon this thing's a huge fire. And it's sin, it's desire, it's lust, it's whatever it is that consumes your mind. And then you might begin, after hearing that picture, how you can be controlled by a sinful nature. See, if we allow those thoughts to stay in our mind, we're giving an opportunity for a hotbed to really begin and to smolder and to start fires. You are not controlled by your sinful nature. Paul's saying that in verse 9. But those who are dominated by the sinful nature think about sinful things. But those who are controlled by the Holy Spirit think about things that please the Spirit. I love how Paul just takes that one statement. Have you ever noticed if you've been in that position where you've had this thought into your mind and you know it's not a good one, you know you really shouldn't be thinking about it, and it's really kind of bothering you that you are? You have that choice right then and there to continue thinking about things? Or to control your own thoughts? Now, we've talked about this many times before, how Scripture tells us that we need to transform our minds. We need to judge our thoughts. And we can tell ourselves, oh, now this is hard, this is not always easy. If you know what your weaknesses are, right? Do we all kind of know what our weaknesses are? Where our hot spots are? We know the buttons that if they're pushed, I'm up here almost every week and I can tell you, I'm not going to, but I could tell you what hot buttons are. And my wife can tell you what mine are because they're pretty hot. Speaking on that, there was one this morning. Anyway, there are things within our mind that we know that if they happen, it is instantly an attitude changer. It is instantly it can literally change your personality right then and there. And there's something about that when you have a thought come into place and you leave it to stay there and you don't use the power that God had given you to judge your thoughts and to command them, you can call your thoughts what they are. I'm not going to stay on this point very long. It came to me and I'm going to run with it for a minute. If you have a thought that's a sinful thought, how do you address it? Let's start there. This is if you're taking notes, go for it. If you're not, just try and remember this. I know. If you have a thought that is a sinful thought and you just push it off, you don't do anything about it, you don't address it. That is putting that thought down under the leaves and just saying, you know what, go away, it's not a big deal. That's pushing that ember down under the grass, under the dry leaves. But if you stand there and you say, you know what, you are not of God. I'm talking actual speaking to yourself. Don't think I'm crazy on this one. Trust me, I'm not. I'm talking about talking to your mind and not controlling. We're not talking about control. Transforming the way you think. Okay? And you need to mentally take note of what it is that you're thinking about. Because our minds can run free, which is scary. Or you can begin to take control of the things you think. So if you have a sinful thought come into your mind, you can actually tell that thought where it should go. Where does sin go? Well, I'm not going to get too graphic up here. But you can tell your thoughts, you are not from me, you are not from the Spirit of God. I command you to be gone in the name of Jesus. And it's amazing what proclaiming the power of Jesus over your own life and your own thoughts can do. And now it's just like anything you need to learn to get into a habit of, you need to be in a habit of telling your thoughts and controlling your mind in the way you think. Those who are dominated by the sinful nature think about sinful things, but those who are controlled by the Holy Spirit think about things that please the Spirit. So letting your sinful nature control your mind leads to death. We already discussed that a little bit this morning, but letting the Spirit control your mind leads to life and peace. Verse 7, for the sinful nature is always hostile to God. It never did obey God's law, and it never will. That's why those who are still under the control of their sinful nature can never please God. You know, it's interesting that we see a lot in society and a lot in our culture where people get this idea that, you know, I'm a good person, I do good things, I help people, I do this, I do that, I do the other. But I don't need God. Or I don't believe in God. And you kind of have this, I don't want to say a movement, but you have this this large group and growing group of people that thinks, you know what, if I'm just a good person, I'm going to be fine. And unfortunately, it's a misconception. For the sinful nature is always hostile to God. It never did obey God's laws, and it never will. And that's why those who are still under the control of their sinful nature can never please God. There's a transformation that needs to happen in each and every one of our lives as believers. It's that point where, as today, we're going to be going out to the lake and doing baptisms. And baptisms, we know, is a public declaration of faith. It's something that Scripture tells us we need to do. To go and to be baptized, to be washed in the water. When we're baptized, we are uniting in the death of Christ by going and being immersed in the water. We are uniting in the resurrection of Christ when we come out of the water. And that's a public declaration saying, I am here right now to declare that I am following Christ, that I am turning away from my past. It is gone, it is washed clean, and we are moving forward. There's a transformation that needs to take place in our life. When, just like on baptism, when we are saying, you know what, I am ready to make this commitment. I am ready to put my past behind me. I am ready to move forward. Where we then are making a decision that we're going to take everything that was before, and it's meaningless now. We are going to focus on Christ and growing together in our faith, and we're moving forward. Just like in verse 9, but you are not controlled by your sinful nature. That's a transformation that needs to take place. We need to know and understand that salvation gives us the power and the freedom to speak over our life and our situation and move away from our sinful nature. That's what I was speaking about just a minute ago, about controlling your thoughts and judging your thoughts. Because trust me, it's a battle for you to get a transformed mind to the point where your own past and your own sins are not going to come back and be a massive temptation and stumbling block for you. But you are not controlled by your sinful nature. You are controlled by the Spirit if you have the Spirit of God living in you. Scripture tells us that when we accept Jesus Christ into our life, that we are set apart and we are sealed by the Holy Spirit. That we're sealed by the Holy Spirit. When we receive Jesus Christ, it's just the Holy Spirit basically coming to you and being sealing you, saying you are a part of the family of God. You are controlled by the Spirit if you have the Spirit of God living in you. And remember that those who do not have the Spirit of Christ living in them do not belong to Him at all. Verse 10, and Christ lives within you, so even though your body will die because of sin, the Spirit gives you life because you have been made right with God. Remember in verse 1 it says, there is no condemnation for those who are in Jesus. Verse 10, Christ lives within you, so even though your body will die because of sin, the Spirit gives you life because you have been made right with God. The Spirit of God who raised Jesus from the dead lives in you. That's an amazing statement. That's one of those statements that should give us energy. It's something that we need to remember and to think on, that the same Spirit of God that raised Jesus Christ from the dead, therefore giving us a salvation, lives within us as believers in Jesus Christ. The Spirit of God who raised Jesus from the dead lives in you. And just as God raised Christ Jesus from the dead, He will give life to your mortal bodies by the same Spirit living within you. Therefore, dear brothers and sisters, you have no obligation to do what your sinful nature urges you to do. Isn't that great? Isn't that amazing to know that no matter what it is that, our life has been, no matter what we've fallen to before, whatever our deepest addictions may have been or may be, as believers in Christ, with the Spirit living in us, we have no obligation to do what our sinful nature urges us to do. For if you live by sin's dictates, you will die. But if through the power of the Spirit you put to death the deeds of your sinful nature, you will live. It's an amazing, powerful passage. We'll be ending in just a second here. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are children of God. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are children of God. So you have not received a spirit that makes you fearful slaves. Instead, you received God's Spirit when he adopted you as his own children. And now we call him Abba, Father. For his Spirit joins with our spirit to affirm that we are God's children. And since we are his children, we are his heirs. In fact, together with Christ, we are heirs of God's glory. But if we are to share his glory, we must also share his suffering. We know that Jesus Christ here on earth suffered immensely. Is that to say that, we also will? No, not necessarily. But does it mean that we might endure hardships and persecutions? Possibly. It's more to do with our culture than it is a constant hard rule as a Christian. But the thing is, we never shy away from where God has us. If that means he sends us to the deepest, darkest places and says, I want you there, and that's your calling, go. Because if we are to share in God's glory, we must also share in his suffering. We're going to share a little bit more out at the lake concerning baptism. This morning, we're going to end in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, I thank you that as your children, as believers in Jesus, that you have set us apart by sealing of your Holy Spirit, and that you have given us your Holy Spirit. Not something that makes us fearful and weak, Lord, but that gives us strength and boldness and meekness, Lord. We thank you. Father, I pray and ask that you would just allow each and every one of us to understand a little bit more about how your Spirit works in us. That you would allow us to begin to see things in our own thoughts and our own minds that are not from you. That you would allow us to remember the power of your name, Jesus, in transforming our minds. We thank you, Jesus, that you have given us freedom. That you have given us restoration with God. Father, we pray and ask a blessing over this afternoon and the baptism and the activities to follow. We just pray and ask for safe travel. That you would bless each person that's there as they witness and experience the baptisms today. We thank you, Jesus. In your holy name we pray. Amen. Thank you all for coming out. I hope you are able to join us out at Sackett's Lake for the baptisms and lunch to follow. As Amanda shared earlier, if you did not bring anything, please come out anyway. If you do not know how to get to Sackett's Lake, follow the train of cars that will be leaving here shortly. It is not that far away, and it's fairly easy to get to. We are going to try to head out right away so we can get baptisms started as soon as possible around noon. So thank you.